I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly two decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
I do need to give a shout out because my mom just texted me and asked me to. John Femia from Billerica, I believe, is over in that area. Used to work with my mom. Came out for the show this morning.
Oh, okay.
I has been sending my mom photos all morning. So good morning to John. Thanks for coming out.
Oh.
But there was a wild scene in Mashpee yesterday as a firework explosion at the new Seabury Country Club left two injured. The video of this is insane.
So they were getting ready for
they were testing everything. It happened around 4:30 p.m. for testing everything for that evening. Obviously everything was canceled for the firework display that night. The two that were injured, non-life-threatening injuries, expected to be okay. But here's one witness, Doug Hajiar on BZ.
I thought a plane hit the house. Because the house was literally shaking. There were another two or three booms after that. Louder than the first one, so you could see that all fireworks were gone. Flames were still 10, 15 feet high.
Oh, they're lucky nobody died.
They're lucky that it didn't happen during the actual display.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you test everything, I guess, but really, really scary. They are very lucky that nobody died, like you said, and that only two injured, and it seems like they'll be okay.
That guy sounded like the one who hasn't been on his deck since they started pickleball.
We talked about this. I believe it was my lead yesterday. Brian Koberger has pled guilty to the four murder charges for Maddie Mogan, Kaylee Gonzalez, Zanna Kernodal, and Ethan Chapin, the Idaho Four, the University of Idaho students that were brutally murdered as they were in their off-campus house going to sleep. We have the audio of Brian Koberger pleading guilty.
Let me ask you, did you, on November 13th, 2022, enter the residence at 1122 King Road in Moscow, Idaho, with the intent to commit the felony crime of murder?
Yes.
Did you, on November 13th, 2022, in Latah County, state of Idaho, kill and murder Madison Mogan, a human being?
Yes.
And did you do that willfully, unlawfully, deliberately, and with premeditation and malice aforethought?
Yes.
So he goes through every individual name of the four that he murdered. I watched the entire thing. He showed no remorse, no emotion. He was like a robot, just pleading guilty to all of these.
Did they make him explain why he did it?
No, the prosecution did lay out.
He did it because he's a psycho, but
correct. But they did not give a motive. The prosecution put out exactly what they believe happened, like the step-by-step, him entering the house, him killing Maddie, then killing Kaylee, then running into Zanna in a hallway, killing her, and then killing Ethan. It just was watching it, and you're watching all of the people in the background. The courtroom was packed, but they were all looking to one area that I believe all of the victims' families were sitting in as they were going through each charge. But just, and the judge did ask, you know, are you pleading guilty because you did do this? So that taking off the table, you know, he's going to say after, well, I had to take a plea deal, you know, or they were going to get me the death sentence. Where he said, you know, all of the voicemails and the emails, we've given those to authorities. Well, guess what? I'm one of those voicemails.
So part of the plea wasn't the motive?
No, and it was the thing. So they enter the courthouse, right? And this guy, obviously, nobody's ever going to see him like this times a billion in the rest of his life, the judge of this courthouse. And he apologized to the victims' families and the defendant's family for the quick turnaround in the plea deal. And he said, Mr. Koberger, you can sit down. I appreciate the show of respect of standing.
Yeah, because he stood up to answer the judge.
Like, you are within 6 feet of a father whose daughter was murdered by this guy, and you're telling him that thank you?
It's nuts. Yeah. It's nuts. And I think, like, oftentimes the prosecutor, the DA, is worried about not getting a conviction, so they're willing to take the plea deal, but not when you, like, in cold blood, go into college kids, a home of college kids, and
that's crazy.
Murder them. Because you don't just murder four people. You murdered the parents. Yeah. You murdered, like, everybody's life ended that day.
And it was so premeditated. Like, they go through his Amazon purchase history. The fact that he, after these murders, went to the DMV out there and tried to get his plate switched from Pennsylvania to Idaho because Pennsylvania doesn't require you to have a license plate on the front of your vehicle, only the back. And the car that was driving by didn't have a front plate, so they were looking at certain states that didn't need that. He was going to make sure that all of his bases were covered. Obviously, he was a criminology. He was studying criminology. He just is a, you said it, he's a sociopath. July 23rd is the sentencing, so all the victims' families will be able to speak that day, and Brian Koberger can speak if he wants.
So did the investigation lead to, like,
a motive?
What they thought the motive could have been?
They did not say it yesterday.
All right.
So, and they made a weird comment. The prosecution made a weird comment, Curtis. I don't know if you picked up on this, where they said, we don't know if all of the victims were targets, or, like, if any of them were targets. So
it was just random.
Right.
All right, and then as long as we're talking trials, before we get to trending and the rest of the news coming up, Diddy, we have a result
yes.
in the Diddy trial.
Yeah, Wiggy was spot on this one. He was found not guilty on the most serious charge he was facing. Combs was acquitted for racketeering and sex trafficking charges, but found guilty on the lesser charges of transportation of former girlfriends for prostitution. The judge denied bail, and Combs will remain detained until his sentencing, which is scheduled for the fall. Prosecutors said they will seek a 4 to 5 year prison sentence.
That's it?
Yeah.
And so then what? He gets out and he does, like, some kind of I Was in Prison
party
album. Well, party, and an album.
His Diddy release party.
So that's it?
Yeah.
How scared are you if you are anybody who testified against him?
It's crazy. Wait, you shouldn't have went after him for a RICO charge. That you probably should have tried to find a different charge rather than try to put together a RICO case. Well, and maybe you could have got him on something else.
I think this is the latest and greatest example. The real issue in law in our judicial system is those that have money and those that don't.
Tell R. Kelly that.
Darren Sharper's in jail because he raped 70 people.
What I'm saying is just because you got money don't mean that you're going to be able to get away.
I didn't
say
it's about something terrible. Right, like I just you said should that. Go to jail. Like Harvey, you could say the same thing about Harvey Weinstein.
Saying. I'm not saying all wealthy people don't go to jail.
Right.
I'm saying that they are able to mostly avoid the penalties that normal people would suffer if they had the same behavior. And the real MVP of P. Diddy is the a-hole security team that withheld the evidence of the abuse longer than the statute of limitations, which to me, if I were president of the United States, the statute of limitations begins when the evidence is available to be seen, not when the crime occurred. Because why, if you abuse someone and everybody sees that you're abusing Cassie in despicable and disgusting ways.
Yeah, but see
ways,
that, but the issue is.
If they see it and it's past the point, then you should be able to charge.
But the issue wasn't about abuse to Cassie. What killed the.
There were elements that they weren't charged with because they weren't in the statute of limitations.
What killed the prosecution is when they put Cassie on the stand and they put others on the stand, there were people that were basically saying that Cassie was all for it. At points in time, she was telling the prostitutes that they were flying in, here's what I want you to do. Here's what we're going to do. Even the prostitutes that they put on the stand were like, at no point in time was Cassie ever in a situation where she was doing anything against her own will. And that, I think, ultimately.
Did you see the video?
No. We're not talking about the video.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Right, but that's a domestic violence thing.
Right. You go to jail for domestic violence.
Yeah, I know, but you can't put a domestic violence charge into a RICO case.
If you're keeping track, Wiggy stands with Diddy and with Ray J and with
Ray J. What did Ray J do?
Michael Jackson.
Oh no, what did Ray J do?
I mean
he made Kim Kardashian. That's about it.
He didn't make her.
Have you heard of her?
No, I mean in passing.
Right. Well, it was the sex tape that made her famous.
I think she was at Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, I think she was Paris Hilton's assistant.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it was the sex tape that Ray J made with her.
Right.
We'll get to the rest of the news coming up. We are on Lake Winnipesaukee on a beautiful Thursday morning. It's our last and final road show here at the Dive. And coming up, We will play one more time this roadshow season. We will play Truth or Fraudulent with you versus Wiggy when it comes to the New Hampshire edition of Truth or Fraudulent coming up at 8:45. And Red Sox front office report with Sam Kennedy on the show at 9 this morning after the Red Sox split those two games yesterday with the Reds. And here to tell you more about that and what is trending is Courtney.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. It's going to be a Subaru summer. SubaruofNewEngland.com. The Red Sox take the first in the suspended game early yesterday with the Reds. 5-3 was your final, and they dropped the second one 8-4. The guys off tonight before hitting the road to take on the Nationals tomorrow. First pitch on your 4th of July is set for 11:05. Elsewhere in MLB play, Clayton Kershaw has joined the 3,000 strikeout club. Kershaw became the 20th member in the Dodgers' win over the White Sox yesterday. Some NBA news is the Knicks are expected to hire two-time NBA Coach of the Year winner Mike Brown as their new head coach. And Subaru summer is finally here. Buckle up for an unforgettable summer in a brand new 2025 Subaru Crosstrek. Buy with 2.9% financing for up to 48 months or lease for just $285 per month. Details at SubaruofNewEngland.com.
Curtis, what is the current boat count here?
I was talking to Jamie earlier. I think we're going to be north of 100 in the next count. We are. It is overflowing with beautiful. It is our own armada.
It is.
We are storming the beaches with entertainment, led by Ken Laird.
It's like our own Navy.
Right.
Yes. Although after a certain hour of the morning, we don't want them doing anything other than just sitting here.
Right.
Particular Navy.
Amen.
All right. We will get to the rest of the news with Courtney from Lake Winnipesaukee coming up.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Next. Well, it's a roadshow Thursday, and we're on Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire. 8th and final roadshow. Maybe the best one yet.
So cool.
Even though this is the show that the Odyssey lawyers didn't want to happen, but we somehow salvaged it because of you guys in your boats. Boat horns. Boat horns, please. Boat horns. Boat horns. Thank you. You can watch this show on YouTube or Twitch.
One could make the argument that where we are right now is the safest place in America.
Correct. Yes.
Literally nothing can happen.
That's the way lawyers are. On Twitch, this show is brought to you by Springer's Jewelers, and you can go see them here in New Hampshire in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, if you're in the market for a diamond. And not only will they sell you a diamond for less, but they'll also teach you about diamonds. Oh, yeah, that's a full eagle right there.
Wow.
Wow. I wonder if it's a real one or if it was cloned.
Nope, that's a real one.
I thought those were in danger.
Yeah, that's a real one. That's a real one. All right. What? I can't see the call screen. I don't know what that individual
that says
wants.
Mike. Oh, Courtney's Mike. Right.
Go to him.
I'm gonna go to him.
Yep. Thank you,
Mike. Mike from the Cape. Mike, good morning.
How are you guys doing?
What's up?
Just wanted to tell you guys that Courtney's right. The other night, I was watching 60 Minutes, and they had a whole entire show on a thing called a bear wolf, which is a prehistoric wolf, along with the fact that they've got woolly mammoths that they're working on right now, cloning.
Yeah. No, no.
She's 100% right.
No, she's not 100% right. We've talked about the Beowulf on the show before. We've talked about the woolly mammoth that they're trying to clone, but Courtney is the only person in the world who has access to information that they have already, in the Arabias, they have already cloned dinosaurs.
Wait, did you say Beowulf, like the old English hero Beowulf?
No, what is it called? Beowulf?
I have no idea.
Shime? I don't know how you say it.
Okay. I was just asking because I was curious.
The caller said Beowulf.
Yeah.
Did he say Beowulf or Bearwolf? I couldn't tell.
No. Beowulf, sounded like.
No. Yeah.
Beowulf was a legendary hero of like myth.
Yeah, there was a movie.
Yes, everybody knows that.
Yeah, he slayed Grendel.
Yeah.
It's great.
It was Slayed Grendel?
Yeah,
no,
there was
Grendel.
A movie they made Ray Weinstein, the guy that was in The Departed, who was
Jack Nicholas's homeboy. He was in it. They made a movie called Beowulf.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, it was like an animated. He was like, what do they call it? A Minotaur? Half man, half horse.
The exact text I received after I talked about it yesterday, Arabia region. I don't know how far they are on the T-Rex. They right. have raptors, and they have a pterodactyl. They're not de-extincting dinosaurs.
Well, tell your buddy I got a great investment for him. I got a phone booth that can take you back into time or into the future.
Yeah. Ooh, Dr. Who.
What you're alleging is that they have, when it comes to the raptor,
mm-hmm.
and what was the other one? The
pterodactyl.
That they have cloned them successfully, and they are hiding them from the world.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You know, I mean, aliens, are those right. not being hidden right. from the
yeah.
world?
Aliens, Bigfoot, all those things, yeah. All right. Yeah. Could we get back to the actual real news?
Yes.
The rest of it.
We have an irrational fear in the news. Norman Chipman was cleaning his backyard pool in Bridgewater, Mass, when he was stung by an Asian needle ant.
Oof.
That left him feeling sick. So I did some research.
That's what the ladies used to call Curtis at BC.
I knew that was coming.
Okay. Yes. But what?
The U.S. Forest Service.
I didn't know how, but I knew it was coming my way.
Yes. Reported from 2021 that the ants are beginning to cause a problem in North America because it's an invasive species. And an Asian needle ant sting can cause a range of reactions from pain wherever it stings you, swelling to potentially life-threatening.
Really?
Anaphylaxis.
Is this guy okay?
Yeah, he will be okay. We can hear from Norman.
Okay.
After maybe 20 minutes or so, I started to just not feel well. I got a little bit of a headache, just felt lethargic. So I fished one of them out and thought, this might be one of those needle ants that I've seen that are showing up on my Facebook feed. And I looked up the pictures and it looked like it. When Terminex came out, he looked at it and said, "Yeah, that looks like what we've been told about."
You know what? I would really go back, like in terms of why society is where it is now, was the second olds could join Facebook.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Like when I was in school, you had to have a university
yes.
email address, and it was just people, yep. you know, 19 to 23. Now this guy's 70-year-old,
yep.
manifesting an ant bit by
once you. My mother and her friends got into it, then it was like, okay, who's in the Asian needle ant community group? Right. Be careful on the lookout.
Did he say that he fished it out though?
Yeah.
Yes.
yeah.
Well, he was cleaning his pool, so I'm sure he had a net, and he was cleaning, it got him, and then he used, I believe, the net to get the
ant out.
Oh,
to get
out.
It, so he had it to show everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. yeah.
Right. And our attorneys have said no remotes in Bridgewater.
Yes. Yeah. we have a new Mother of the Year candidate.
The Greg Hill Show is proud to present...
Mommy!
Mom!
Today's nominee...
Welcome to my world.
...for Mother of the Year.
Bring your mom, get her lit up.
Whoa! Your mother must dance at the nicest strip club in town.
Hi, what's up?
We go to 36-year-old Deanna Sue Woods, a mom in Arkansas. She told police officers that she gave her 6-year-old daughter edibles to discourage her from using marijuana. So the police were called on this woman because she's got 3 children, and she fessed up. She said, "Yeah, I give them edibles and I let them use my vape pen, and it's to deter them from using drugs, marijuana down the road." The children are ages 6, 10, and 15. The 15-year-old is loving this.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I hope they're no longer there.
If she's doing it over and over again, that's not deterring them.
Right.
That's like getting them hooked.
Yeah, right exactly.
Like, yes.
You'd think after the first time, they'd be like, ew, what is that? I don't want to do that.
But she was giving them edibles, so she's giving them to like chocolate.
Yeah.
But then the vape pen, that's so addicting.
So has she been charged?
Yeah, they've taken the kids away, she is facing child endangerment.
She said those drug programs in school are just not doing enough for my kids.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. And we're going to end with a very interesting story as Charlize Theron was on Call Her Daddy.
I like her. She's a great actress.
Yes. And she is raising some eyebrows because she talked about how she had a one-night stand with a 26-year-old.
How old is she?
Charlize is 48.
All right.
Okay.
We can hear what she had to say on Call Her Daddy.
I don't have many of them. I'm sitting here sounding like I do. So when I do, I'm like, I should have done this in my 20s. Probably had 3 one-night stands in my entire life. But I did just recently f*** a 26-year-old, and it was really amazing.
Wow. Talk about put a notch on your belt for that kid.
Right. She's gorgeous.
But you wouldn't think that she is somebody who, was it just a random thing that she met the guy?
No, I'm sure he is a famous, it's like Noah, what's his last name, Shyam? Noah Satan? Noah, I don't know.
Like it's a famous
actor? Or Jacob Elordi. Like, she's probably banging, like, a very, very attractive 26-year-old actor.
But the way she said it, it's like she randomly met a guy at, like, closing time or something.
And he probably had no clue who she was.
No, I'm sure
but he was probably hot.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, you think?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, he was probably a smoke.
I don't think.
I think he was famous.
You think so?
Yes. Oh, see, I think he was a nobody.
I think it was a nobody. She probably was out. He probably didn't know who she was. I mean, she is famous, but maybe he didn't know who the hell she was. And he was like, he's like, oh, I met this great, you know, cougar the other night. She rocked my world.
Are people concerned about the age gap when it comes to Charlize Theron?
No. But if they're not concerned
about 20 years.
Right.
Yeah, so, all right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Good for him.
All right. That is.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Curtis is breaking things.
Curtis, we had to sign our life away. Please don't.
By the way, great job by Griff, our engineer.
Yes.
This whole thing. This is a challenge for Griff. Thanks to Elon Musk, we are utilizing the Starlink system here on Lake Winnipesaukee. And great job when it comes to Twitch and our guy, Amen Corner. Former vice president of Twitch services up here. And Mitch back in the studio in Brighton making everything happen. Yes,
and do you see the back of the Starlight? Starlink?
No.
I bought this before Elon lost his mind.
He wrote that on there. Yeah. All right. We're at Lake Winnipesaukee on a roadshow Thursday, final one of this fourth roadshow season. And when we come back, I think Ken's going back into the water. And if you'd like to be a part of Truth or Fraudulent, you versus Wiggy, and win yourself a limited edition Greg Hill Show Roadshow Trucker hat, then just swim your way over. Ken's going to be right out here, and we'll get to a little Truth or Fraudulent. Also, want to thank – can we have boat horns for Becky and for Jamie here, our hosts? What?
Betsy.
What did I say? Becky? Betsy.
Betsy.
Betsy and Jamie.
You're still thinking of Becky's garden.
That's a pano.
Betsy and Jamie are hosts here at the Dive who have gone through a lot to make this happen today. And are you guys opening up right at 10? Because we're going to stay right here. 11? Okay. I'm staying right here all day. I'm not leaving the lake. I'm not going home for days. All right. We will be.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back. I know. Well, when it comes to water-related or boating-related rejoins, you may be able to guess whose request that was when it comes to the to the staff of the show.
Yeah.
It's the bikinis, it's thong song.
I understand. Yeah. I understand.
Thong.
Are you? How long are we? We are. By the way, it's eighth and final road show. We're on Lake Winnipesaukee. Sun is shining. Beautiful. Out here today, bunch of boats and a bunch of watercraft and even some canoes and who's floating around in the rubber floaty thing out there? That's great effort there too.
I think that's Ordway.
Are you staying today? I mean, you have a new love of the lake.
Yeah,
are you sticking around today for a while?
Unfortunately, I can't because my boys came home for the weekend for July 4th, so they go back Sunday to school.
But will you come back?
Oh, for sure. Next year, 4th of July, we're going to spend the whole weekend over here.
All right.
We definitely flex timing next 4th of July. I'm giving you a heads up, Ken.
Coming up, we are going to get to the Red Sox front office report with Sam Kennedy in about 15 minutes. And then, as always, Hill Notes at 9:20 or thereabouts this morning. And you have the opportunity to leave a Hill Note now on any topic on the Odyssey app. And it's really simple to do that. And just look for the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. And whatever you want to talk about, leave it in the form of a voice note for us, and we'll play the best ones back a little bit later on. But we are going to attempt to get to Truth or Fraudulent, the New Hampshire edition, during this roadshow now. And Ken Laird is back in the water again. What a trooper he is, really.
Boss mine.
Yo. Okay.
How's the temps?
So,
not too bad.
Yeah. It's not. What's the water temperature, would you guess, Ken Laird?
I would guess 68.
Fantastic. So who's going first? Okay, this is a is that a hello, sir?
How you doing, Greg?
Is that a what is that, a kayak?
Yeah, it's a two-person kayak.
Two-person kayak. Who is that with you?
This is my wife, Claire.
Okay. Blink if you're being held against your will. Okay. So it's you versus Wiggy on this. Are you a New Hampshire resident?
No, I'm from Billerica, Massachusetts.
Okay, Billerica, Massachusetts. Right. Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss starred in a 1991 movie set here at Lake Winnipesaukee called What About Goalie Bob? Truth or fraudulent?
Ooh.
I'm Wiggy, gonna go with,
I know this one.
Wiggy, what's the answer?
I'm sailing.
You're saying fraudulent?
Let's see. Where was that set? Was that set?
Oh, my Lord. Heaven.
I'm going to say fraudulent. I seen the movie. Okay. I like the movie.
Not for the reason that you should be, but what's your answer?
I was going to go with fraudulent as well.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It was called What About Bob, not What About Goalie Bob.
No, I know that. Don't you remember when he's tied up to the front and he's like, I'm sailing.
Yes,
I know What About Bob.
It was set right here on Lake Winnipesaukee.
Right. Okay. We're not completing the thought.
Yeah.
Beautiful Lake Winnipesaukee.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Yes, it is.
Sure.
Some parts of the great film, I'm dating myself here, no way you or Shime have seen it, but the great film On Golden Pond, part of it filmed here on Lake Winnipesaukee.
I've never heard of that movie.
You haven't?
No. Classic, man.
Great movie.
Yeah. I'm with Courtney. Yeah. Never heard of it.
You haven't? What?
Jesus.
It's a classic. It's a great movie.
Oh, so good.
Okay. Unbelievable movie.
Seems like a classic.
That's a classic. All right, yes, hello.
Hello. Hi, Greg.
What's your name?
Eric.
Where are you from, Eric?
Merrimack, New Hampshire.
All right, Eric. Lake Winnipesaukee was home to the first ever intercollegiate sporting event in the U.S. as Harvard defeated Yale by 2 links in the Harvard-Yale regatta in 1852. Truth or fraudulent? Wiggy?
That is true.
True? What do you say?
I'll go with true.
True is correct. We have a trucker hat for you. First ever intercollegiate activity ever.
Why would they come all the way here if Charles was right there?
That's a great question. I don't know why.
That is very confusing.
Maybe they all summered here or something.
How do you even get there in 1852?
Horseback.
That's a great
horse and buggy.
How did they get their canoes, though?
That makes no sense.
What did they drive? Yeah.
That is interesting that they came all the way up here.
Yeah.
Ken is heading over to another boat. And
was it like the Oregon Trail and they got lost?
What is the boat count at?
Are we
50, 60, something like that?
I think we're over 60.
Good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
What kind of boat is that?
That is a Regency pontoon boat.
What is your name?
Matt Trudell.
Where are you from, Matt?
Originally from Lowell, but lived in Hudson, New Hampshire for the last 20 years.
Fantastic.
Gosh, a lot of people from Lowell. I love it.
Thanks for being here.
Yes.
What time did you guys get up and motor over?
Well, as I told you last night, my son said it was a 4:30 a.m. wake-up call, and we were late. It was 4:45.
And where did you come? What part of the lake did you come over from?
From Guilford, so it was a short ride.
Okay.
Awesome. Did you guys like the Winterfest back in Lowell when it was in its prime?
Absolutely.
Yes.
It sounds like there's a lot to leave about Lowell.
No.
Eminem got a house out there.
Okay. All right. Well, the town of Wolfboro here on the lake is known as the oldest summer resort in America because in 1763, the first summer home in the colonies ever was built there by Dale Arnold. Truth or fraudulent?
True.
I'm going to go with fraudulent, Greg.
Yeah, that,
Wiggy?
That's fraudulent. That was Ware's Beach, the oldest area around.
It is known as you are both correct. It is known as the oldest summer resort in America. Because the governor, the last British governor of the colonies, Governor Wentworth, decided to build a summer home there. So you are absolutely correct. All right, Ken. Hold on. We're going over to yet another beautiful boat here. These boats are awesome. You guys are the best thing to have is a friend with a boat. Who are you, sir?
Hi, I'm Kevin from Lowell.
All right. Jeez, we got a giant Lowell contingency here. Fantastic.
Big,
so much.
Big shout out to John Cox and his family in the old court.
Oh, all right. Gosh. Yeah, we love you, John. Best pizza in Lowell?
Yeah, maybe. Right.
Espresso, come on.
I was going to say Sal's Just Pizza, given my age.
Oh, very good. Right.
Papa John's.
And Tremonte is pretty good, but that's more sit-down.
Okay.
All right. For decades, tourists who were visiting the Granite State would make a visit to the Old Man of the Mountain, which was a rock formation on Cannon Mountain that struck a resemblance to former President Joe Biden. truth or fraudulent?
Fraudulent.
What is it? I can't hear you. You
got fraudulent.
Wiki?
Fraudulent.
Correct. Yeah. It did not bear a resemblance to Joe Biden, but there was the famous Old Man of the Mountain, which I don't know if anybody ever drove up and took a look at when you were driving around as a kid.
I have seen that, I believe.
All right. That's Paul Bunyan.
All right. Great job, everybody. That is Truth or Fraudulent.
Great job, Ken.
With Wiggy here.
Good job.
Great job by Ken Laird. We are at Winnipesaukee, Lake Winnipesaukee and the Dive. And it is our eighth and final roadshow on this roadshow season. Coming up, we will talk with Sam Kennedy and get to the Red Sox front office report. Red Sox split the series with the Reds, or split the games yesterday, won the series with the Reds, and are off today.
Very rare road 11 a.m. start tomorrow.
Yeah.
In the nation's capital.
Hey, it's 4th of July.
Do you like it, though, 4th of July? Like an 11 o'clock game on the 4th?
Works for me. It'll be 8 a.m. where I am. I'll be having breakfast and listening to Will.
I know you purists don't like to mix anything up at all when it comes to trying to get people involved in watching the game.
I think it would be a wonderful weekend in our nation's capital. Go down there at 11 a.m., see the Sox and the Nats, and then tour around.
So a lot to talk to Sam about, and with the trade deadline a couple weeks away, get some thoughts from him on the Red Sox and their strategy heading into that.
If you had to guess right now, do you think if they can't do nothing? So, and Sam's actually said that, like, we can't middle it. We're either going to be in or out at the deadline. Do you think they're trading Aroldis Chapman? They're trading Duran?
No.
Or do you think that they're – the option is – legit prospects to really improve the team by adding financial packages to your roster with talent players?
My hope has been all along that they did the Devers deal and they are going to use some of that money this season to try to make sure that this team is a playoff team. So I don't think you can always be talking about building for the future. And then when you're locked down at when it comes to a closer, when you're locked down with Jaron Duran, who is, I know he's not having his best season or when you compare it to last season, but he's a guy who's a part of your future. So I don't.
Well, I guess they would say that he's not a part of the future because of the way the young guys are coming up. He'll be replaced by Roman Anthony or by somebody coming up the pipeline. For me, this is so fascinating because you could make the argument, and I think you might be right, that it would be smart to trade Chapman. He's had the best first half in baseball. He's been unbelievable as a closer. You will get a haul for a guy that you could use as a commodity. You bought him low, you sold him high, you got all these things in return. But I think they backed themselves into a corner with
how they have to improve this season because that's what they've been saying.
Right. Like the Devers deal actually forced them to do more when the reality was it made your team worse and now it makes less sense.
Yeah.
So it's like they're constantly chasing their tail.
All right. Well, Sam Kennedy coming next on all of those things on the Red Sox front office report at WEEI.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.